Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pitti Engineering's Q2 FY 2022 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference call will be recorded. Joining us on this call today are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, along with the senior management team of the company's presidents, Mr. Varun Agrawal and Mr. Sandeep Agarwala, Mr. Rishab Gupta, and Mr. Nandakishore Khandelwal, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome everyone to our quarter two FY 2022 earnings call. I hope you have had a chance to review the presentation of our results, which is also available on our website. I will touch upon the operational and financial performance of the company and then open the floor for question and answer session. The country has emerged from the second wave of the pandemic more resilient than ever. We see government and private sector CapEx at levels not seen before. IIP grew 11.9% in August. GST collections for October 21 was at 130,127 crores, the second highest since its introduction. We see the momentum continuing. Moderate inflation numbers and cautious fiscal deficit focus are promising signs of an overall healthy economy. Consequently, I am delighted to report that the company has recorded its highest ever quarterly numbers across all key performance indicators like sales, EBITDA and PAT. Let me take you through the financial and operating highlights for the quarter ended September 21. Income from operations stood at 242.51 crores, which is 79.15% higher on a YOY basis. In quantitative terms, sales were 8,610 metric tons as against 5,651 metric tons during the corresponding quarter last year. Capacity utilization for the quarter was at 88%. Increased operating leverage resulted in a higher EBITDA of Rs. 35.04 crores, up by 46% on a year-on-year basis. PAT stood at 12.95 crores, up by 28.34%. The company has generated cash of Rs. 23.06 crores during the quarter. Since all raw material prices are witnessing unprecedented price volatility and have risen sharply, our selling prices have also increased. As we have inbuilt quarterly price variation clause with all our clients, while our conversion cost and EBITDA remains protected on a per unit basis, our EBITDA margin as a percentage of sales would contract. Therefore, to accurately track the EBITDA, we have started to report blended sale realization per metric ton and blended EBITDA per metric ton from this quarter. Blended sale realization for the quarter was 281,332 rupees per metric ton, while the blended EBITDA per metric ton was 40,695, as against 42,521 rupees per metric ton in the corresponding quarter last year. The minor decrease is attributable to our efforts in reducing DSO from 92 days to 54 days from the corresponding quarter. The company is continuously working on reducing its operating cycle. Working capital cycle as on 30th September 21 stands at 99 days. We have set ourselves a target of reducing this to 75 days within the following year. I believe this will free up sufficient cash to fund the company's growth without taking on any significant debt in the coming years. Considering the improved cash generation, reduced working capital requirements and providing for long-term capital requirements, the board has decided to distribute a dividend of Rs. 40 paise per share. As you will remember, in February 2020, we had announced a capex of Rs. 270 crores. I am happy to report that despite the challenging 18 months that we faced. We have completed 35% of this envisage CapEx. The remaining is on track for timely completion. During the last 1 year, our capacity has grown from 36,000 metric tons per annum to 41,000 metric tons per annum. Our machining value-added services capacity has increased from 2,47,000 machine hours to 3,70,000 machine hours as on September 30th. The increased capacity is fully utilized as on date. Further, as our capacity is modularly expandable, any incremental additions that will keep getting added on a quarterly basis shall keep getting utilized as they get commissioned. At the end of this CapEx cycle, our capacity will be 72,000 metric tons per annum and 600,000 machine hours of value add. With a constant price, the revenue potential at the end of this CapEx cycle for the company shall be 1,800 crores. In the first half of 2022, the company has developed products for applications such as 3.4 megawatt wind generator for Gamesa, 4.0 megawatt compact hydro generator for Siemens, railway motors for Mitsubishi Metro, among others. These have a potential of adding 45 crores of revenue per year going forward. I continue to see buoyant demand from all our key end user segments. The order book and forecast as of September 30th stands at 984 crores. I would now open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudhir Bheda from Right Time. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and season's greetings to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bheda. Season's greetings to you too.
And sir, congratulations for very good numbers on the top line and very tight control on the working capital, sir. I have a three question, right? From your commentary, I could not understand properly why per ton EBITDA have come down from 42,521 to 40,695. So if you can throw some color on as to why per ton EBITDA has come down. And if you can give, sir, outlook for the in respect of margin and volume growth in the second half of the current fiscal. And my second question, sir, is our product like rotors and stators are any applications in the EV, electric vehicle? If yes, so what are the opportunities over there?
Sure. Mr. Bheda, just to clarify what I said about the EBITDA per ton, the reason that it has come down, if you see year on year by just a small number, which is about 2,000 rupees a ton, is that we have been making a consistent effort with our clients to reduce the amount of credit that we offer to them, thereby improving our working capital cycle. So when we reduce the credit offered to them, we also have to, you know, reimburse the interest that would have been charged on those days outstanding. As a result, when we reduce the days outstanding from 90 odd days to say 54 days, the interest had to be given back to the customer. Net margin has not been impacted. It's a positive for the company in the sense that we are moving away from financing the customer's supply chain, and rather than deploying our cash in doing so, we are investing in capacity to further grow.
Yeah, understood.
Your second question was, I believe, regarding whether our product finds application in the electric.
No, the second question would be like in the same continuation of the first question, what are the margin outlook and volume growth you are expecting in the second half?
So volume growth, we see that this year we should be closing around 40,000 tons per annum if all goes well, vis-a-vis the current 14,000 tons that we've done. But of course, this is subject to addition of capacity, which is a little tight going on right now. In terms of margin, we see the margin stable between 40 to 45,000 rupees per ton EBITDA margin.
Okay. So you see slightly improved margin in the coming half?
Yes. Depending on the product mix, the margin will vary. The more assembled and value-added products we give, the better the blended margin will be.
Understood.
So going forward, we are seeing that the product profile will increase and go towards more high value-added products. The stators and rotors that we supply do find application in EV, and we are in active discussion with a couple of end users to develop these products. We should be able to, you know, state something more explicitly in the next 6 to 8 months.
Great, sir. Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Bina.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mulesh Savla from MM Savla Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, my question is, are we also making copper die-cast rotors or not? As I believe probably EV would be more comfortable using copper die-cast rotor rather than aluminium or others. Hello?
We don't currently make any copper die-cast rotors as we don't have any requirement from our end customers for that product.
Mm-hmm.
But we can make it. In terms of expertise and capabilities, we have the capability to do copper die-casting as well.
I see. But right now, we don't have any customer who is buying copper die-cast from us.
No. And any inquiries that we are currently receiving from the EV space currently are not requiring copper die-casting. They are using the copper built-up rotor.
Okay. Okay. But is that a fact right, ne? That copper die-cast rotor can give better efficiency than aluminium and other rotors?
See, generally, copper has a better watt loss when compared to aluminum. So any application which has a high efficiency requirement will use copper and not aluminum.
Okay, correct.
It does not need to be die-casted per se to get the efficiency.
In fact,
it is more efficient if you wind it manually.
Got it.
Die-casting is for a speedy operation, not a more high efficiency application.
I see.
Copper winding would be better than copper die-casting.
Oh, okay. And sir, my another question is, in your presentation somewhere you said that you have develop some specific product for some specific application whereby you are expecting an order inflow of about 45 crore. Can you throw some more light on this, because what kind of products they are, and 45 crore revenue is for a quarter or for a year, or it is only one time 45 crore?
So this 45 crores is the annual business.
Mm-hmm.
That we are projecting. This is from three different applications what we have mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
One is for a 3.4 megawatt wind generator, which is going to be supplied to Gamesa.
Okay.
Another application which we have developed is for a specialized application which is called mini hydro or compact hydro.
Right.
A 4 to 5 megawatt hydro turbine, hydro generator for in-stream hydros.
Okay.
And the last one which we have developed in this quarter is from Mitsubishi Metro.
Right.
Motors which will go to various metros in the country.
Okay.
So as the metro adoption at various cities will get expanded and more metro trains will be put, there will be more requirements of metro motors. So all these applications put together have a revenue potential to add about 45 crores of top line per year going forward.
So per year we can expect 45,000 on a regular basis in case if our product is accepted by those companies.
The product is accepted. It is 45 crores of business opportunity subject to our end client also getting the order.
Okay.
The current forecast is for 45 crores per annum revenue from these three developments.
Great. So that's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, my first question pertains to overall, demand environment in India as well as in the export market, because as we understand, from your competition or, the forward integrated companies like TD Power and all in the con call, they also highlighted that this sort of, change in demand environment was witnessed after a gap of almost a decade. So both in domestic as well as international market, and there is a sizable inquiries, which are visible from other countries due to this anti-China sentiment and the cost escalation that has happened in that country. So could you guide us in that parlance that how are we seeing, the competitive intensity globally, vis-a-vis India and within India for our company?
See, let me start from the competitive landscape. So China has slowly and gradually withdrawn more and more export incentives that they had. And as a result, now India and China are having parity in terms of most of the products that are manufactured. I'm generalizing that statement. As far as our industry is concerned, we always had better price parity than China. So much so many of our products were indirectly exported back to China. So in terms of competitiveness, we have always been competitive. In terms of demand environment, yes, we are seeing a definite shift wherein now it is China plus one policy at a global sourcing level, and more global sourcing is getting diversified to safeguard against any geographical and political risk. Local demand, like I said, I am seeing buoyant demand from all our end user segments. The order book and forecast stands at 984 crores, which is the all-time high. We have never seen this kind of demand before. And the orders are continuing to flow in.
Okay. So these orders are across our product lines?
Yes, pretty much across our product lines. So if you see our investor presentation, we give you a grouping of certain end user segments, starting from something like a consumer durable, special purpose motor, industrial and commercial motor, mining, oil and gas, renewable energy, power gen, data center backup power system, locomotives, railway and traction motor, metro components. So pretty much I am seeing demand from all sectors. If one can say where there's a little bit of a weak sentiment, it is consumer durable. And I think that has to do with the inflationary nature of the product, and therefore the price sensitivity is affecting that. But other than that, every single end user segment is buoyant.
Okay, and in terms of our CapEx plan that we highlighted of 270 crore and we have completed 35%, and right now I can see in your presentation we are at 41,000 of capacity, and the end of this CapEx plan it will be 72,000. So can you guide us, what could be the capacity at the end of next year? Means this year you've guided 40,000, that is something that you are targeting in FY22. But going into next year, how this CapEx plan and capacities will move?
See, 41,000 is a capacity, annualized capacity as on 30th September itself. By the end of this year, I think this capacity will grow to about 48 to 52,000 tons depending on the arrival of our machine. As I said, the capacity is modularly expandable. As the machines keep coming in, the capacity will keep going up. In terms of utilization of this capacity, if you would see, the capacity which we have commissioned in quarter two is also fully utilized. Our capacity utilization is running at 88%, including new equipment arrivals.
Okay, so this 48 to 52 in FY22 next year, whether we'll go to that entire 72,000?
Yes, H1 FY24 will be at 72,000 tons.
H1 FY24, okay. So next year, what sort of guidance that we can work with, like this year 40,000? So can we anticipate 25 to 30% kind of growth next year also? And the kind of order book visibility that we have right now.
We can definitely anticipate that. It is all subject to getting our machines on time, because you would appreciate these machines come from all over the world. India barely makes any of these specialized machines, so it's all dependent on the capacity getting enhanced. All of the targets which I'm seeing is on capacity getting enhanced.
Okay, so any, what we are seeing, the kind of demand revival, I hope that the machines from which you are procuring the companies, they must be also seeing, the kind of demand revival for them also. So in terms of, timelines that those companies have given to you, what could, derail, your procurement, if you could guide us in that sense?
In terms of derailment of such things, everyone is aware of the current supply chain challenges at a global level in terms of logistics. So I think that is one of the key risks. Apart from that, maybe a third wave of COVID coming down and, having rolling lockdown, post major conditions basically.
From which country we are sourcing these machines?
We source from Japan, we source from Germany, we source from Taiwan, China, Italy. So it's all over the world.
Got it. And in terms of the business verticals, I can make out that the major segment for us is motors, and then we have, this turbine segment, which is also getting, good traction from that perspective. So in terms of any other diversification or any other segment that probably we could see going ahead, which could, the revenue optimization from medium to long-term perspective, any other segment?
See, data center power systems, if you see, we have started to give a separate line item in our presentation. We see huge demand coming from this segment. Apart from that, the renewable energy space, wind turbines and generators are picking up again. In terms of new applications for our product, there are two very promising fields that we see. One is in terms of desulfurization plants at steel and power, coal power plants, wherein to comply with environmental regulations, they need to do carbon capture and desulfurize the emissions. So that is one sector that we see maybe in the next 5 years should become big. And apart from that, obviously, the buzzword, which is the electric vehicles space.
Okay, which will again require your motors and all. So those applications will be there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the case.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, a few questions. You have, given a breakup of your profitability in tons basis. So just a request, is it possible to share, the EBITDA per ton between loose laminations and the assembly or value-added process, as it would be easy for us to understand the impact on EBITDA due to product mix. As of now, you have, on a blended basis, you have reported.
Yeah, see, this is a new initiative you started. It is virtually impossible to break it down because, when we say assembled, there are various levels of assembly. If you would see our corporate presentation, you would see that, a simple welded stack is also assembled, and something which is highly complicated, such as a ready-to-use product, wherein the stator housing is assembled, value-added with copper, put into a stator housing and machine, and the corresponding rotor is assembled with copper and with a shaft put in. So, in terms of assembly also, you have various levels of assembly. So it is virtually impossible for us to, track it down to each supply level. Hence, we have come up with a blended EBITDA percentage or blended EBITDA per ton. This is the only thing where we can equalize the highly diverse product offerings that we have.
No issues, sir. Great. Sir, my second question is, you did mention that your order book is around some 980 odd crore. What is the execution cycle of this order book, and are they fixed price in nature or you have PVC attached with them?
See, we have price variation clause attached. So typically the purchase order is opened for a quarter and the rest is in terms of demand forecast, because the customer will not open a purchase order because the changing of purchase order is a very complicated process of price. So we have the order for say the current quarter, which is quarter three, of roughly 300 crores, which is executable, and the balance is executable over the next 6 to 9 months.
And that is subject to change depending on the demand. And as you said, it's just a visibility, it's not a firm order.
No, the orders are there. See, purchase orders for the same shall be released subsequently when the price is finalized. See, for January, the price is not finalized. We have a quarterly price variation. So once the price is finalized, the purchase order will be released.
Okay. Okay. And so what
and
kind
as
of...
As we keep executing the orders of the current quarter, we'll be getting further order loading for the next 6 months. So it's like a 6 to 9 month rolling order cycle.
Okay. Okay. And so what kind of incentives you are expecting in FY22 as a reimbursement from government under the mega project scheme? Both on accrual basis and on cash basis.
We cannot account anything on accrual basis. Only once it's sanctioned by the government, we can account for it. So on sanction basis, we are estimating 14 crores for the current financial year. This will be the incentive which was eligible for FY20. The accounting is always delayed by 1 year.
Okay. Okay, and usually once this gets sanctioned, in how many days you receive it?
The cash payout is typically between 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. Okay.
So in this year, to answer your question in a more direct way, the 16 crores of accounted income of last year shall be realized in cash in this financial year. 14 crores will be sanctioned in this year, which we will get cash next year. And current year, only once the annual report is finalized and submitted, we can claim the amount for current year.
Okay. Okay, that's very helpful, sir. And sir, last is on, we are again on the working capital side, you have done a commendable job of reducing it, you know, the debtor days and all. So what is your ultimate aim, sir, to bring it down? Because I believe you have already discussed with 50% of your customers. So how much more time will you take to discuss with all customers, and what is the ultimate aim of bringing down the debtor days to?
Our long-term target is to have debtor days down to 45. And the total working capital down to 60 days.
So if ceteris paribus, if you achieve that, what could be the impact on the EBITDA per ton? As you mentioned that you have to reimburse interest cost. So on a steady state basis, if you bring the debtor days to say what 45 days and working capital to 60 days, this 40,000 will come to what level?
See, it will have a very minor impact, because whatever is the interest which is being charged to the customer shall be returned to him. So our selling price would reduce by that much.
What would the interest cost be?
It would be at a 10% rate of interest per annum on an average. So if a customer of mine reduces his days outstanding by 60 days, you can take it as 60 days at 10% per annum. So, you know, it is very specific to each customer.
So 2%, 2 to 3% impact on EBITDA per ton could be there.
No. Not from here. Not from here on. I think on an absolute term, it may have a 1,000 to 1,200 rupees impact on EBITDA per ton.
Ah, that's what I need to understand. Okay, so cyclic would be around.
It's already down to 54 days, right? So it's like 9 days to go on the total sales at max. So it can't even have that kind of impact.
Okay. So what percentage of your customers have agreed to this, and how much more are still have to agree to this discussion? I mean, reducing it the day to day.
More or less, I would say 90% of our customers have reduced their data days outstanding by some percentage. So on a blended basis, the DSO is at 54 today. On a blended basis, we estimate the DSO to come down to 45 days going forward. You would appreciate that we have export clients, so export clients would have a slightly longer cycle as it takes time to, you know, get the goods to North America. Domestic would have a shorter one. So that's why we're talking about blended DSO. DSO as an organization.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjeev Zarbade from Dream Ladder Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for taking that question. Sir, could you kind of highlight the potential from railways business?
See, today, in terms of railways, railways I would say including metros, because that's how we account for it. 28% of our business comes from railways. Going forward, we see this business increasing by 25 to 30% in the next 2 years.
Okay. And sir, post the CapEx program, what kind of debt we'll have at the on the balance sheet at the end of FY23?
See, we have debt repayment also, and we'll be taking on some amount of additional debt to fund the new CapEx. At a net position, we do not see our debt increasing by more than 25 crores through FY23. And it will peak out at FY23 and then start dropping.
Okay. Okay, sir. Great. That is from my side.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rahul Awasthi, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Rahul, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was again regarding the CapEx only. So this 270 crores, what would be the debt equity mix for this CapEx? And just clarification on the timeline, we plan to achieve this expansion by H1 FY23. Is that correct?
By the end of H1 FY24.
Okay. And what will be the debt equity mix of this CapEx?
It will be about 50-50 going forward.
Okay. And this CapEx, the further balance 65%, what would be the breakup between greenfield and brownfield?
Entirely it's brownfield. The facility that we already have in Aurangabad, this is a mega factory. We have additional land available adjacent to it, which is equivalent to 2 times the land that has already been developed. So it will be coming up right in the same campus.
So we only have the land, or we even have the building
structure? We already have the land.
With the building structure?
So some buildings and structures may need to be created.
Okay. Okay, got it. And what would be the domestic and export mix for the quarter?
For the quarter, as in, I couldn't understand. Quarter gone by or quarter to come?
Mix between domestic and export.
Just give me 1 second for that. Domestic is 63% and exports is 36%.
And how do we see this going forward? Because I believe in earlier your interviews you mentioned that you'll be concentrating more on domestic revenue. So automatically that should reduce our working capital cycle, if that understanding is correct, because you've hinted that the working capital cycle is longer in terms of exports.
Absolutely. So going forward, as we go beyond the 1,000 crore mark and say 2 years from now, where we are saying that the revenue potential is 1,800 crores, if we do 1,800 crores, we see the export content not being more than 25% of that.
Okay, and that is why we expect our working capital cycle to reduce to around 40 to 50 days.
No, by then we expect it to come down even further. The target or the target that we have set ourselves is to do this in the next 1 year.
Okay.
45 days is our target for the next 1 year. Going forward, as the exports go down further, it 45 days should logically and really improve.
So if we achieve this working capital cycle by the end of the year, then wouldn't that mean that our short-term debt would come down?
It would come down. That's why I'm saying that we will only add about 25 crores of debt to finish the remaining capex.
Okay, got it. And have you achieved the financial closure for these for this debt, and at what cost?
The financial closure for this is ongoing because we are implementing this capex in phases. As of today, out of the 270 crores, we have already completed 100 crores worth of capex. We have the financial closure for another 75 crores already done, which shall be spent all the way up till Q1 FY23. And the remaining is stated to start at the end of H1 FY23 and go on the way to till FY24. So since we have time to tie it up, we have not tied that up.
Okay. And what
by that time, if our capital cycles are better and if we have free cash available from operations, we will not even do a financial closure with the bank.
Got it.
So that is one of the other reasons that we have not done it.
What would be the blended cost of debt for us?
Total blended cost of debt is about 8%.
Okay. And another question. Now, as we expand our revenue and since most of our capex is downfield, wouldn't operating leverage kick in and our EBITDA per ton go up?
It will. If you would see in the last 4 to 5 years, our blended EBITDA per ton has gone from 19,000 to 40,000 today.
Okay.
And we see this tracking upwards further.
Okay. And my last question was that for the current quarter, the mix between loose lamination and assembled and value added has gone down from 73% to 70%. So what sort of mix do we plan to achieve in terms of value addition? And what is the margin differential between value added versus loose lamination?
See, just give me a little time to elaborate on this particular thing because it's a good point you asked. We don't focus only on doing assembled and value-added products. At the end of the day, we also track ROCE. So when we do the loose lamination, the amount of capital that we need to deploy, even though it's a lower EBITDA margin business, the capital deployed is much lesser. So we like doing the loose lamination business as well. So we have no bias in doing either or. Depending on the opportunity and the kind of return on capital we are seeing, we invest, firstly. Secondly, you said that it's gone down from 73 to 70%. That's true. But if you see the volume growth, the volume has gone from 5,600 to 8,600. So you cannot always just increase only high value added and, you know, assembled component. If you have to grow, you have to grow across the industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this thing will keep varying.
Okay. And just last
one, Rossi, in terms of taking new business. So if you see good ROC in the loose lamination, we'll continue to grow that business as well.
Okay. And just one last question. Should we track your spreads per ton as well, or should we concentrate on EBITDA per ton only?
See, you can track two things if you want to see from my perspective. One would be EBITDA per ton, and the other would be the total conversion cost per ton. So sales minus cost of materials consumed.
Yeah, that's what I meant by spread. So our spreads have moved from roughly around 86,800 to around 84,500. They have come down by roughly around
3%.
Yeah. Okay. So that's then that's the reason for this would be what you explained earlier regarding the interest cost.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Dheeral Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So my question is, when you are expanding your capacity, so do we have that kind of an order visibility, or it is an anticipation of the revival in the capex?
It's a combination of both. So we have discussions and order visibility from our clients to take us to about 55 to 60,000 tons per annum. And in our industry, see, we are saying we are only doing the 72,000 tons. The effective capacity utilization is about 80%. When we are currently clocking 88%, actually inefficiencies come in. The most efficient utilization of our capacity is at 80%. So based on the order visibility that the clients have given, we have designed our capacity to 72,000 tons, 80% of which is 60,000, for which we have the order visibility.
Okay. And sir, at the full capacity of 72,000 tons and we would be operating at 80% utilization, so what would be the margin for our company?
See, that's too forward-looking and a too direct question which I would not like to answer, but you can expect a 25 to 30% EBITDA growth from there.
Okay, from the current level?
Yes.
Okay, and sir, when you are looking to, you know, reduce the later days, so does it impact our volume, business volume?
Not at all. If you see, we've increased our volume from 5,600 tons to 8,600 tons all while reducing our debtor days by 40 days.
Okay.
So it has no impact.
Okay. And sir, lastly, do we have any entry barrier in our business?
There's a huge entry barrier. See, what we talk are high-level numbers. But if you go into the micro level, we have more than 5,000 different products developed, all of which are active for our end clients. To compete with me, a new entrant needs to develop all of 5,000 products in one shot, which is practically impossible. This is the development of the last 30 years of products, through which we have developed an inventory of 5,000 products. And every year, we add at least 5 to 600 new products to this library.
Okay. Okay. And so lastly, this 60,000 tons of order visibility which you have, so this is from the which sector particularly? Because you are also talking about, you know, maybe renewable, even EV opportunity.
No, this is not taking into account any significant business from the EV opportunity. This is primarily from the special purpose motors, industrial motors, locomotive, railway, metro, power generation, and consumer durables. Our traditional sectors, from our traditional sectors, what we have enumerated in our investor presentation, from across all of these.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Ranwal from Moneybee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. My query is actually related to the incentives that we have got from the government of Maharashtra. So I understand we got 16 crores in FY21, and for this year you mentioned that we can get around 14 crores. What I want to understand is, what's the continuity which would be there in these cash flows? I mean, till which year can we sort of expect to get these kind of cash flows?
See, in total, we'll be eligible to get about 400 crores of incentive from the Maharashtra government once our entire capex is done. This will be spread over a total of 13 years.
Okay, 13 years starting from when?
Starting from FY18.
Okay.
So what you have seen as book is what we have booked for FY18, 19 and 19-20 till now. So 2 years are done, another 11 years are pending. The residual amount will get in these 11 years.
Okay, so is my understanding correct in that case? Like, so around we have received or will be receiving around 30 crores by end of this year. So remaining 370 crores will be spread across around 11 years. Is that right understanding?
That's correct. See, as of now, to be fair, we have not even invested 200 crores in total in the factory, and we've already got 30 back, right? So once we invest only, we can get it.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Agrawal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Mr. Atul, I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I wanted to know about a project that government of Telangana has proposed, and in the form of land, and there were some preconditions about it, but we have not heard about that project going forward.
Government of Telangana land, I'm sorry Mr. Atul Agrawal, but we have not done anything in Government of Telangana in the last 2 years.
There was some project when 2,000 employees were to be employed and some.
Okay, so you are referring to that. That was a exploratory discussion with the Government of Andhra Pradesh.
Okay, it may be Andhra Pradesh.
270 crore investment that they had announced. We were negotiating with various state governments for the incentive package. It was only a negotiation. Due to certain mistaken understanding, they published it as though it's a project that is going to come to Andhra. We have never agreed to go there, and we got a better deal for Maharashtra, and hence we are investing the money in Maharashtra.
Okay, that means it is dropped now.
No, it was never taken up. I'm just clarifying, it was never taken up by us. We were only negotiating with the government. The government went ahead and published it as a done deal for whatever reason, so I cannot comment on.
Okay. And my next question is, one of your interviews I have heard, and what my understanding was that you were projecting a net profit margin of about 10%. Going forward, can we expect that type of net profit margin in our business?
Definitely, Mr. Atul. See, if you would take our current margins and you add the projected incentive income that we are yet to receive, which is an annual event, it will be at about 10%. I cannot confirm it's at 10%, but it should be around that percent if you do the math.
And I just want to know one more thing. The incentive that we are getting from Maharashtra government, is it going directly to our profits?
Yes, it will go directly to the PBT. It will be accounted as other income on the top line and will get directly added to PBT. It will not affect our EBITDA or EBIT or operating profit.
That means if quarterly we are earning an EPS about 4 rupees, then that correct. Profit will be added to profit before tax and the
correct.
EPS will go up.
Correct. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Singh from Sarath Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations for the good set of numbers we've had this quarter. So we aren't educated in your company's business to the extent that others might be. So a couple of qualitative questions from our side. Given the fact that it's quite evident that you have a strong order book, you're in a good place with respect to the external environment. We just want to understand, on the qualitative side, what's the, some person asked about the entry barriers, but you want to understand what's the cyclicality of the demand from your customer side, and if there isn't that bit of cyclicality, how dispensable or indispensable you are to your customers? Like, how, can they get this from another player in the Indian market? How does that work out?
So let me start from indispensability. In most of the products that we make, which are intermediary products which go into the final product that our customer makes, we are sole suppliers in most of the places that we operate. Secondly, the kind of product we operate, it's very difficult for a new entrant to come in. We compete with three different industries. We are a combination of three different industries. We have changed the way our end customers do business and their purchasing practices. So we started a traditional sheet metal company, hence we always talk in per ton basis or per ton capacity, but we have moved well beyond that. We have fabrication facilities, we have our own tool room, we have our own machine shop, we have our own shaft manufacturing facilities. To replace us in the supply chain, first and foremost, my competitor needs to find three to four different companies, each in a different field, and then find someone to integrate the product, assemble, and supply it as a ready-to-use unit. So in terms of capability, we have a very unique process that we have created over the last 5 years.
Okay.
In terms of cyclicity of the industry, each end segment has a cycle. If you take consumer durable, ceiling fans or AC motors, they have a seasonality. Wind turbines have a seasonality. You cannot install wind turbines in monsoon season. But apart from that, rest of the industry segments that we cater to typically do not have any seasonality.
So that would be seasonality. I was more interested in cyclicality with regards to the capex environment that your customers might be in. Seasonality is fine, but that gets sorted out on an annual basis.
If you're going to the cyclicality of it, if you would take again special purpose motors, yes, there would be some level of cyclicality in it because that is to do with either overhauling of existing capacity or setting up brand new capacity. The industrial commercial motors, which constitutes about 20% of our current business, this is a more of a repair and replacement market. You have a huge install base. Only the repair and maintenance takes care of the order input. Power gen, again, it's not cyclical. I personally feel India is a growing economy and therefore we'll have more and more consumption of power. There should not be any cyclicality in that in the near term. data center backup power systems is a new application, and as the consumption of data grows and storage of data grows, this business is going to continue to shine. It's too early to say whether this will be cyclical or not. The major chunk of our business, which comes from traction motor, railway components, and metro, these are a kind of a fixed bid business. We've been in this business for the last 20 years, and we have not seen a single cycle in this so far.
And you did mention that you've done a lot of work over the past 5 years. So something happened in the past 5 years that is different from what you did previously before that. So I just want to understand, because you had a couple of challenging periods in probably around that mark. So you had a tough 2016 and a tough 2017 as well.
Correct, absolutely. So we were more of a sheet metal product supplier, where we used to do predominantly loose laminations back then and some bit of assembly and machining for certain complicated parts. What we decided at that point of time is that it would not be prudent for us to be one among the many in the country, and we should probably start looking at moving up the value chain and trying to command a bigger percentage of the spend that my customer does. Why should my customer buy a distributed supply chain? Why can't he concentrate it across commodities and buy a ready-to-use product? So we try to, you know, create those capacities ahead of the requirement and try and impact their purchasing behavior. Over the last 5 years, we've been successful in doing so. So much so that now, if you see the data which speaks for itself, a major chunk of our output comes from a fully assembled and ready-to-use product. So that's the change that we've driven in the past 5 years, which makes us indispensable, as well as increases our margins.
So, I mean, given, I don't know, like, if you can put a label on it, but in your segment, going by your words, you'd be in a monopolistic position, right?
I would not like to use the word monopolistic. We are in a partnership with our customer in their journey of growth.
Right, but they are solely dependent on you, right?
They are solely dependent on us, but we are also dependent on them, right? See, in the industry, they are the giants. There's GE, there's Siemens, there's Alstom, there's ABB. Then we will have a Cummins. You cannot name a sixth customer. So in this industry, if I have a monopolistic position or a pricing power, if I exercise it, I'm going to start souring relations. So, you know, it's more of a partnership. These clients have been with us for 30 years, and we've grown with them. So, you know, using the word monopolistic is not good with these kind of relationships.
But so all your operating margin, levers would basically come in from that capacity expansion and capacity utilization going up rather than any, sales realization increase per unit, right?
No, sales realization and increase per unit because of the higher value add portion.
Okay. Okay. So going by that, since you've done a 270 crore capex, and if I remove the element of the whatever you get from the government back, but so what's the ROC you work with when you visualize this capex or you sort of plan this capex?
See, we target a 25% ROC. Currently, if you remove the incentive income, we are tracking at a 21% ROC. So we are with the incentive above our target. And you would appreciate any business decision that we take would have taken into account the incentives we are going to be getting.
True.
So our 25% ROC target was including incentives. We are currently tracking at 21% ROC without the incentives.
Okay.
With the incentives, we will better the target.
Yeah. And there's no risk to that, right? I mean, you don't see that going. If you maintain the current capacity utilizations, you don't see it going down below that, right?
No, I don't see that going down.
Okay. And one final thing was, since you've had a lot of price increase from the raw material perspective, and your customers would likely be supplying to a lot of government and a lot of those other institutions, so or government projects. So what's the propensity to pass on the price increase to your customers?
Fully in this industry, everything is fully passed on. Increases and decreases both are passed on by us and our end customers as well. Probably the only place it doesn't get passed on by our end customer is the consumer durable space, because that's more of the retail market. But if you leave that aside, everything is a B2B. So all the contracting which is done is with built-in price variation clauses. Okay. And even for our consumer durables exposure, our pricing with our customer has a PVC on a quarterly basis.
Okay. Sir, any plans post capacity utilization of your current the CapEx that you are in right now to go to the front end and actually engage, you know, do what your customer might be doing?
That would not be prudent because you have to then start competing with the likes of GE, Siemens, ABB, Cummins, and that's something we would not want to do. Like I said, the relationship that we have with them is more like a partner rather than a supplier.
Okay.
So we are very happy doing this for them. If they want us to further go up the value chain and give them a ready motor, we are more than willing to do that. But going and competing with them is something that I would not want to do.
So you'd eventually, you can eventually turn into a contract manufacturer for them, but not a brand.
We are already a contract manufacturer. It's just the level of supply that differs. So we today supply, I would say, certain products which go as 99% ready to use.
Okay.
In a motor.
Right. Got it.
So whenever they give us the opportunity, we will move up the value chain.
Okay. Great, sir. Great, great. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Chaudhary from Samardhya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, you spoke about the export-domestic change, the export-domestic mix changing significantly over the next 2 years. And correct me if I'm wrong, that you said around 20 on a projected 1,700-1,800 crore top line, you might do a 25% as exports, and the rest would be from domestic. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct.
If that is the case, I mean, if on a, say, on a quarterly turnover of 240 crore that we just did, you said our export were around 63% odd, right?
No, it was 36%. 63% was domestic.
Okay. I got confused with the numbers. 36 is domestic and, oh, sorry.
63 is domestic, 36 is export, which will come down to 25 going forward.
Okay. Got it. And sir, I have recently started tracking your company. Would we see the pledge reducing significantly going forward?
See, the pledge is to the bankers of Pretty Engineering. It's not something I would have liked to do. It is a stipulation from the bank. SBI has a stipulation that a certain percentage of the promoter holding be pledged to it. And I'm only complying with the convent of the loan agreement. If we become debt-free, yes, definitely all the pledges will be removed.
Okay. And do we have a post this, post our expansion, it gets completed over the next 1.5 years, would that be our biggest priority after that of reducing debt?
Sorry, I couldn't understand the question.
In terms of our priority post completion of our capex, would debt reduction or say reaching a near zero debt status, would that be a major priority for us post completion of capex?
Definitely, I think we would like to reduce the debt. Currently, also we feel the debts are at a high level. Once the capex is done, we would endeavor to bring it down further, but still maintain a healthy level of debt on the balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devang Bhatija, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Hi. Sir, like you mentioned that almost 60-65% of our capex is still pending. So is there any reason why the capital work in progress in the half year balance sheet is only at 2.6 crores?
We are doing tight execution of our capex, so we are trying to keep it as low as possible. It's not in our interest to have a very high CWIP. Like I said, our capacity is modularly expandable, so we try to do it as little as possible and quickly implement it and put it to use.
Okay. And sir, just to understand your business better.
Only when we expand the building in Aurangabad, you will see the CWIP number increase. Otherwise, you should see it at maybe 10-15 crores at max.
Okay. Sir, and just to understand your business a bit better, so you said that you are the sole supplier to many of your clients. Now, if there is some other company who were to supply similar components or similar sub-assemblies, what would be the kind of approval timelines or approval cycles, just a broad range or a estimate would be Very helpful.
In most of our customers, it would take them at least 2 years to even get a vendor code registration done. Post that, development of one single product would take at least a year and a half at the supplier end. Then the approval of the product supplied to the customer, it will go through a life cycle test, which would typically take 6 to 9 months. And then you would have the first pilot product supply and then a commercial supply. So I would say about 4 to 5 years would be the timeline for anyone to come in. And then after that, only the other products would be offered to a competitor. And then again, the similar timeline would be there to develop the rest of the product portfolio.
Okay, so that explains that we are, it's very difficult to break in through the industry, right?
Yes, we've been in this industry for 40 years now, and it took us 5 years to do what we are doing today. I mean, the change that we had to go through, it took us 5 years, even though we are registered with our customers and had strategic relations with them. So a brand new entrant coming and trying to do that, I think, would be near impossible.
Right. And sir, since you mentioned that the capacity is getting added in phases, so at the beginning of quarter three, like in the ongoing quarter, what is the kind of peak revenue we can do? Like we did 240 crores in quarter two. So what can we do, just hypothetically, the kind of peak revenue in quarter three?
See, unfortunately, I don't see our machines coming in this current quarter. There are certain issues in China and Japan and Germany, as you know, is already facing a very big outbreak of COVID. So certain machines are delayed, so I don't see the capacity increasing in quarter three. So it will be around the same 240 to 260 range.
Okay, and when do you expect all these machines to arrive? By the end of quarter four or next financial year?
The next lot of machines shall start arriving in the last week of December to second week of January. And we should have some incremental capacity available for quarter four, which will see some sharp rise in revenues.
Okay, okay. And sir, just more back to the business, so just the macro of the business. So let's say if I were to put a similar 42,000 ton capacity, so what is the kind of spend I will have to do? Like,
okay, so you will have to spend at least 600 to 700 crores on fixed assets, and then probably another. I already have the tooling with me, so my customer is not going to give you a cost for second set of tooling. So on a limb, you'll have to invest at least 600 to 700 crores on tooling.
Okay, so that's well in excess of 1,000 crores, right?
Yeah. See, the tooling cost for us is already paid out by the customer. We don't incur much of the tooling on our own balance sheet.
Okay. Thanks, sir, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, what will be the return on equity as on 31st March 2022? Approximately. Yes, sir.
Equity. So let me go out on a limb and say it here. It can be closer. You will take return on equity including other income. If you include other income, it will be closer to
20%.
It will be closer to 20%. We are already at 15%.
So it will improve.
Yeah, it will improve because we have to still account for 14 crores of incentive which is yet to be sanctioned by the government. That will go straight to the bottom line.
Right. Fine. And sir, who is the main competitor to us in our industry?
So in sheet metal, we compete with Temple Steel, which is a subsidiary of a US company. We compete with Nagcor, which is a company based out of Bangalore. We compete with Capstan Industries. And then after that, you know, there are multiple smaller guys who must be doing a turnover of 20-30 crores. And they don't really compete with us because we are in the more organized side of the business. In machining, we compete with Craftsman Automation, we compete with Opel. There are again number of machine shops that we compete with. In shaft manufacturing, we compete with SG Industries, we compete with Gauri Industries, Salhaka Industries. In tool room, again, there are many people who make tools, but there's not a single company that does all of this in-house together and integrate the product. We are the only one who do that.
Right. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up question, sir. Could you, you know, you have mentioned about the debt number, you know, will be 25 crore higher next year, including the capex plan. So this number also includes working capital requirement?
Yes, the total debt may increase by a maximum of 25 crores net of repayment.
Okay, including working capital debt?
Yes.
Okay, and sir, just one last question. For last 5 years, you know, from FY17 to FY21, we have done a capex of almost 250 crores. But if I see the top line, you know, which was 300 crore in FY16, has gone up to, let's say, double or maybe 650 crore, you know, excluding this quarter. So that capex has generated just 350 crore kind of additional turnover. So whereas, you know, the current capex that you have done, you know, will at least give us, you know, 2x kind of turnover. So what was the reason for, you know, this anomaly?
There's no anomaly in that. If you go back and review the statement that we had made that point of time, the facility when we create, so the land building will have to be put up front. The majority of the investment done in the phase one of Aurangabad factory was towards creating the infrastructure. Now we are adding equipment on a modular basis. So the capacity will start increasing now.
Okay. So out of that 250 crores,
and then again done 270, the cumulative capex would be 420 or 430 odd crores, of which 200 is done till date.
Okay. And how much has gone into this land and building specifically out of that number?
Land and building, again, don't hold me to it. I'm just giving you the...
So just ballpark, just to get a sense
ballpark,
of...
Ballpark you, about yeah. Land, building, utilities, infrastructure would be about 50 to 75 crores.
Okay. So ideally, we should look at Pandey, which is in the operations.
Correct.
You know, on the machining side. Okay, correct. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ankit Babel from Shipka Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, I'm sorry I didn't understand one of your statements wherein you mentioned that you are expecting a 20-25% growth in your EBITDA per ton going forward. I mean, currently it is around 40,000. So you're expecting a 20% to 25% growth in this figure, which means it will go to some 48,000 to 50,000 rupees per ton?
Correct. That is what we are estimating going forward.
Okay. And sir, even if the commodity prices decline from here, say that's for assume a 20% drop from current level, this EBITDA per ton figure would remain as it is. I mean, your realization precisely. Might come down.
Precisely. That is okay. Why we started actually publishing this data from this quarter. Because if you would see YOY basis, our EBITDA margin was 17%+ last year, and it has come down to 14%. But if you would then, you know, take the absolute number, it has not changed much. That is because the raw material prices have gone up, and as a consequence of that, the margin as a percentage of revenue looks lower, while that's not the case.
True. And sir, how is your client concentration, like top five clients contributing to what total revenue?
Top five would contribute about 60-65% of revenue.
And who would those be mainly?
They would be Siemens, Wabtec, they would be ABB, they would be Cummins, and the fifth number keeps changing on and off. Sometimes it's Toshiba, sometimes it's Crompton. So the fifth place number keeps changing, but top four always remain constant. Siemens, ABB, Cummins, and Wabtec.
Okay. And so lastly, you did mention that, you know, on the working capital part that you aim to bring it down to 60 days. Okay. Now, you also mentioned that you aim to bring down the debtor days to 45 days from current, 59 days approximately.
Right.
So what I need to understand is that your total working capital as on date is around 99 days, which you plan to bring it down to 60 days, which is a reduction of around 40 days. But out of that 40 days, improvement from debtor days would be just around what, 9 to 10 days.
Right.
So the remaining 30 days improvement will come from where?
From creditor days. If you see the long-term creditor days that we've had on our balance sheet, it used to hover around 75 to 90 days, creditor days. As on 30th September, that is down to 45 days. That is primarily because of the increase in raw material prices, and we had to do a lot of cash purchases. We had to like pay out money from our cash flows to buy spot market prices to secure our raw materials. Going forward, that would not be the case, and we would be able to correctly align our creditor days to the working capital cycle. Apart from that, because we are in a growth phase, we are stocking up on inventory. Raw material prices are volatile. International supply chains are disrupted. So our inventory had to be increased to fund and ensure that our growth does not suffer. Going forward, inventory also will be rationalized. From these two sides, you will get the remaining days.
Okay. But sir, this creditor days you mentioned, so most of your creditors would be the metal companies because you buy metal. And they only deal in cash. So whenever you ask for a credit, they charge interest. Just like you charge interest from your customer. So once you increase your creditor days, again your cost will increase, right? And again it can increase.
Why it will not increase? The price is already built in. We were having to purchase on cash basis. We are having to go to the spot market and buy material from the spot market, not from our long-term raw material suppliers. Like we work with POSCO, we work with Jindal, we work with China Steel Corporation, we work with Bao Steel. And these are our regular suppliers who give us credit. Now, when the market was volatile, they could not fulfill the demand for the higher products, higher operating level that we had reached. So we had to buy material from traders by using our CC limits and fund-based limits, which will stop going forward. As now, these companies have stabilized their output and are meeting our requirements.
Okay. And so just again,
limit and buying on cash, I'm incurring interest to the bank, right? Here, what will happen, instead of using the cash limit and putting the debt on my balance sheet, he will supply with interest. So interest remains constant. But it's not on my balance sheet.
Yes. And so just again, a follow-up on that, when you mentioned that a 20 to 25% growth in EBITDA per ton is possible. So this will, what will lead to this kind of an improvement? I mean, is it the product mix or value addition or what?
It will be a combination of product mix as well as the increase in value added services that we are providing. So if you see, we are aggressively growing our machining hours from the 250,000 machine hours to roughly 600,000 machine hours. So that will go to increase our overall blended EBITDA margin.
Okay. So the contribution of that assembled and value-added products will increase as compared to the pure lamination.
Yes. And whatever is a simpler assembly will become more and more complicated, thereby more value-add, thereby more margin.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Sir, there are a few numbers that somehow I'm not able to tie well. So please help me out with the same. What was first question is, what was your the volume that you did in first half this year?
We did. In first half, what I'm telling you is for the quarter. First half number, just give me 1 second. It will be somewhere here. Second quarter. I think it was close to 15,000 tons first quarter. First half.
And second quarter was around 8,500.
Yeah, 8,600 was second quarter. First quarter was about 6,500 odd, around that number.
Okay. And you're also saying that you will be able to do around 40,000 this year, this whole year.
We are trying to.
Okay. And then you mentioned that Q3, since machines would not be able to come, and then the balance for, so basically, see, 40,000 tons is roughly 1,100 crores of revenue. If I simply multiply that with the blended realization of 2,81,000, which has been given in your presentation. Am I going wrong somewhere?
Yeah, you can't go that way, right? See, quarter one, you have to take on quarter one actuals. Quarter two, you have to take on quarter two actuals, and then you can add what you want to forecast for quarter three and four, right? H1, you have done 412 crores. That is already a number which is done.
Right.
Now you can add for H2, whatever is the assumed tonnage that we may or we may try to achieve, and
Correct.
Multiply with the blended sales realization. You can't
Correct.
Go retrospectively.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I lost you there.
Yeah. So, and so that sharp increase, which is potentially going to happen in Q4, that's almost like, I mean, if I back calculate the numbers, that's.
Let me answer your question upfront, right? So it's
Yeah.
6,400, this rounded out 6,500 and 8,500.
Yeah,
So you have done 15,000 tons in H1.
Correct.
Now for quarter three, we are tracking about 9,200 tons.
Yeah.
And for quarter four, we are estimating that if the equipment come in time, be able to do about 12,000 tons. This is all subject to execution. 12,000 is what you are comfortably estimating. If you total this, you'll be around about near 40,000.
Okay. Got it. Okay, thank you.
37,000 tons it comes to.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. If you have any other questions, you may reach out to Mr. Khandelwala, CFO, or Mr. Rama Naidu, our investor relations in charge. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get in touch with Mr. Rama Naidu from Intellect IR on 9920209623. With that, we conclude this conference. On behalf of Pitti Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference call. You may now disconnect your lines.